welcome to episode 24 of Be Boomer Unleashed. I'm Jerry Lake, the Unleashed Baby Boomer, and I'll be your host today for this episode and all the episodes of Be Boomer Unleashed. Remember, we've been talking about the evolution of the church and Christian values and the decline of some of those values in the church. We divided that into basically two paths. First, we talked about church organizations, buildings, methods of ministry, that kind of thing. Then we decided we would branch into church teachings, core values, Christianity in practice. And last week talked about biblical authority. What does the Bible mean today? What did it mean back in the baby boomer days, back in the 50s and the 60s? And what has that book come to mean today? And hopefully episode 23 shared with you some of those changes that man's perception of that book has come to in this present day and time. Before we get into our podcast today, let me remind you where you can always find us. You can find us at beboomerunleashed.podbean.com. You can find us on iTunes and Google Play at Be Boomer Unleashed. You can now find us on iHeartRadio at B.Boomer. Just type in B.Boomer, and that should take you to a listing of our podcasts. You can always find our link on Facebook, Spotify, Tumblr, and Instagram at BBoomerUnleashed, and on Twitter at BBoomerUnleash1. We also encourage you to drop us an email at bboomerunleashed@gmail.com. That's bboomerunleashed@gmail.com. We're always happy to hear your comments, your criticisms, your suggestions for future episodes as we go along this pathway of the Unleashed Baby Boomer. Always good to hear from you. Now, last week we told you that we were going to divide this discussion into five different areas or five different core values. And a lot of folks say, well, five aren't enough, but I think we can cover most of what we want to talk about with these five different topics or these five different core values. Last week, as we said, we talked about biblical authority. This week, we're going to talk about the person of Jesus Christ, who that is. Who is this Jesus of the Bible? Then next week, we're going to talk about the means of salvation, then marriage, then holy living, and we'll wrap up that discussion on the evolution of the church and Christian values, and then we'll move on to another topic of interest to everyone. Last week, remember, we used 2 Timothy chapter 3 as our primary text for biblical authority, and we talked about the evidence that proves that the Bible is God's authority. The final authority doesn't lay with man, doesn't lay with politicians, doesn't lay with preachers, priests, or the Pope, or anybody else. It lays with God's Word. So the biblical authority is what's really in control of our lives, or should be in control of our lives today. But today we're talking about, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Now, a lot of religions have a lot of things to say about Jesus. Some of them just think he was one of billions of spirits who pre-existed in heaven before becoming human. They think Jesus is one of three gods. You know, there's one God. God manifest in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. But they think Jesus is just one of many gods, not just part of the Godhead or part of the Trinity, as we refer to it. Some folks say you should never pray directly to Jesus. You shouldn't do that. God is Jesus' literal Father in the flesh, compromising the truth that Mary was a virgin. And we're going to talk about that as we go along today. Some folks say, well, Jesus, sometimes he didn't. Some of his statements need to be revised. You see, back in baby boomer days, you know, we believed that Jesus was the Son of God. We didn't question that. I mean, he is the Son of God. He is eternal. And the Bible teaches us that he is eternal. And we're going to go to a scripture for that. But people try to put Jesus in their own mold, put Jesus in a bottle, so to speak, so that they can have control over their view of Jesus. Well, let me tell you, it's not about man's control over God or man's control over Jesus. That is just folly, if you will. It's Jesus relationship with us that's important in our relationship with Him. So Jesus is not just a good man. He's not just a prophet. He's not one of many created beings, as some religions will tell you. Some folks deny the divinity or the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny that He is equal with God. Now, and some people say that Jesus' birth wasn't like the Bible said it was. That Jesus, you know, He was a good guy, but He was born just like anybody else. And, you know, some of them deny His second coming. Some of them deny that His resurrection was bodily. Some deny that He even died on the cross. So who is this Jesus? Who's right and who's wrong about it? Well, in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and we'll be reading these passages of Scripture from the King James Version of the Bible. We will read these and try to expound on them just a bit, but God's Word is, and you're smart people, God's Word will explain itself to you if you'll just listen to it, so it doesn't really require a lot of explanation. But John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." So Jesus, according to the book of John, was with God, was God, is God, from the beginning. The same was in the beginning with God. You know, there is no beginning, no end to Jesus, just like God. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're part of a triune God, three personalities combined within the triune God, each with a particular ministry, and all co-equal. Do you understand that, Jerry? No, I don't understand that, but I believe it. And a lot of people say, well, you old guys, you know, you just believe things blindly. You should have studied this out. Well, hey, I have studied it out. You've got to believe in God's Word if you're going to believe in Jesus. Now, if you don't believe in God's Word, if you don't believe the Bible is the authority, like we talked about last week, then you're probably not going to believe who Jesus is either. It's important as a foundation to have a discussion is that you believe the Bible is true. If you don't believe it's true, then there's no use even talking about Jesus or some of these other things because you don't believe the very foundation that the Bible is God's Word. But if you believe that God's Word, then we can determine who Jesus is. And Jesus, according, like I said, in John 1, 1 to 4, is equal with God. He was with God in the beginning. He was there. From the very beginning, there is no beginning or end to Jesus. He's always been just like God. Now, you say, well, Jesus was born. Sure. Yeah, Jesus was born as a man in the form of sinful flesh. He is 100% God and 100% man. Well, do you understand that, Jerry? Nope. I don't understand it, but I believe it. As did my parents and their parents before them, and those folks who were raised up during the time when the Bible really meant something to people, they believe it. Today, the problem is parents don't take their kids to church, or they take them to a church that doesn't preach the Word of God or has little or no respect for the Bible, and it presents a problem in the whole belief system. But it's not a stretch to imagine that Jesus was born of a virgin, and she never knew a man. She never had intercourse with a man. And she was chosen of God to bear this child, Jesus, who was God in the flesh, incapable of sin. He was perfect in every way, and He was the only sacrifice that was acceptable for our sin. Now, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35 is a familiar passage of Scripture. If you've ever watched a Charlie Brown Christmas, you've heard Linus read this very passage of Scripture on a Charlie Brown Christmas. It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, she was espoused to be married to Joseph. Today, we would probably call it engaged, but it was probably just a little more than an engagement, but they were going to be married. They were going to become husband and wife, but Mary was a virgin. She had never known a man. She had never had marital relations or premarital relations with Joseph, and the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind, "What manner of salutation this should be?" And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man?" Now she was acquainted with men. She was acquainted with Joseph, but in the King James vernacular, not knowing a man means that she had never had sex with a man. And the angel said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So Mary, a young virgin, never knew a man. Angel visited her one night and told her that she was going to bear God in human form. Wow. Some people say, well, that's impossible. That's not possible at all. Well, it is impossible if you don't believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, if you believe in God, all things are possible. Then Jesus grows up. He preaches. He has a public ministry. He performs miracles. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He causes the blind to see. He performs many miracles. And he was a great cloud of witnesses about him. People who were followers of Jesus saw these things and attested to these things. The Bible even tells us that all the books in the world couldn't hold all the things that Jesus said. So what we get is just kind of a snippet of Jesus. He did much more. He did many more miracles than what are recorded in the Bible. But he was a man, 100% man, but he was also 100% God. And his public ministry was proof positive that he indeed was God and was equal with God. But you know what? Just like today, when people get aggravated and get angry with you when they talk about Jesus, you know, today, you know, have you ever seen so much hatred in the world? And I'm not going to get into politics here, but look at the hatred directed toward our president, Donald Trump. It's not about Trump. It's about what Donald Trump stands for. He's the greatest friend, as we've said before, that Christians have ever had. He's the greatest friend Israel has ever had. He is against abortion. He's against gun control. He's for protecting our borders. He is sensitive to spiritual things. If you've never heard it, he did a great Easter address. He did a great Christmas address. And he brought the name of Jesus to the forefront. And Jesus said, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you." And I'm not saying Donald Trump is the greatest Christian of mankind. I think Donald Trump is a fairly new Christian. But if Donald Trump did not espouse these conservative Christian values, they'd be in love with Donald Trump. Hey, the economy's good. Everybody's got a little more jingle in their pocket. But because he espouses the teachings of Jesus, people hate him. And Jesus has that effect on people because Jesus is not only the Word, Jesus is the light, and he illuminates people's sin. Who in their right mind could possibly think that killing babies is a good thing? Who could possibly think that? But the world has gone crazy, folks, and the world hates Jesus. Christians don't hate Jesus. Christians love Jesus. But the world, those who don't know Jesus, hate him. And he came to save sinners. And people don't want to hear that. Well, they were aggravated with Jesus. They were angry with Jesus because he was teaching the truth. And they delivered him unto Pilate to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away. This is in John chapter 19, verses 16 through 30. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote the title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it in his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. They didn't kill Jesus. He decided. He gave himself freely. He gave himself on the cross. That's who this Jesus is. That's who this Jesus. Then they took Jesus to a borrowed tomb. Jesus was homeless, you know. Jesus didn't have a house. Now, when he was growing up, he lived with Mary and Joseph. But during his public ministry, he didn't have a house. He didn't even have a pillow to lay his head on at night. Now, he was invited to stay with people from time to time. But Jesus was a homeless guy. And he didn't have a grave. He didn't have a tomb. So they put him in a borrowed tomb. This man gave a tomb to Jesus' family to bury him in. He just borrowed it. Now this passage of scripture in John 20, if this is not true, then our religion is vain because Jesus is a liar. Remember, Jesus said he would raise himself up from the dead. He would be in the tomb 3 days and 3 nights. Then he would raise from the dead. Now, they thought, they were scared that somebody might steal the body and lie and say, well, Jesus rose from the dead. And so they posted guards. They rolled a big stone in front of the sepulcher, and they posted guards. Then on the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. The stone was rolled away. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and we know that to be John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Now, Mary knew that Jesus was going to raise in 3 days, but I suppose she was a little bit doubtful of that herself. Why did she not think of that Jesus simply told the truth? Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. led a foot race to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin which that was about the head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, those of you who know a little bit about Jewish custom know that this is a big deal. It's Jewish custom when you were finished eating, when you were finished with the meal, you folded your napkin up and laid it aside, meaning, I'm finished. See you later. And Jesus took the bed clothes off, or the grave clothes off, that they had wrapped him in. They were laying in a heap. The napkin was folded neatly and placed in the sepulchre there, saying, I have gone. I am finished. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at his feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. She was so distraught that she saw Jesus standing there in the garden and didn't even know who it was. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. When he called Mary by name, she had heard him call that name so many times before, she realized that it was Jesus. You know, what a shame that we have taken Jesus from his rightful position over the years and turned him into whatever we want to turn him into. A picture hanging on the wall, a little trinket to hang around our neck, something to sit on the mantelpiece. That's not Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible is equal with God. Jesus of the Bible is the same Jesus that we had back in 1950 and 1960. He's the same Jesus that they had back in Bible days. He was the same Jesus that they had through World War I and World War II. He's the same Jesus that they had in Desert Storm. He's the same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But people want to relegate Jesus to a lesser position. And that's what happens, folks, in society when we think we get so smart that we can outsmart God and we know more than God and we know more than the Bible. And the Bible is no longer a respected book and Jesus is no longer a respected individual. But that's who Jesus is. That's the Jesus of the Bible. Not some little mamby-pamby guy that, you know, walked around and with long hair and sandals and talked effeminately. No. Jesus was a man's man. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was scourged. Jesus was crucified. Jesus lived, bled, and died, and rose again, so that we might have an opportunity to go to heaven. That's who Jesus really is. Now, what the church has made out of him today, I don't know. Sometimes you can't recognize Jesus. I sometimes wonder in some churches today if Jesus came in and sat down right on the front row, if they would actually have any idea who this individual was. And it's a shame. Folks, whether you like to admit it or not, we're living in the last days. And Jesus is coming soon. Will you recognize him like Mary did? When he calls your name, will you recognize it as your Lord and your Savior? Or will you miss that call? Well, you know, we've talked about the biblical authority. We've talked about the Jesus of the Bible. And I know this makes some people uncomfortable. I know it does. I told you in episode one that I would approach this program from a Christian conservative standpoint. Told you I wasn't going to get real political with you. Told you I wasn't going to get real preachy with you. But I did tell you that my viewpoints were tainted by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that I believe what the Bible says. I believe what Jesus said. And I have received him as my personal Savior. And I hope you do too. Hey, I think it's great to be an American. I love America. Don't you love America? You know, some of you don't. Some of you hate America. Some of you hate the American dream. Some of you hate the American way. Some of you hate our president. I pray for our president every day. And you know what? When Barack Obama was our president, I prayed for him too. It's not a matter of Democrat or Republican. It's a matter of God putting people in positions to lead this country. And he has different people in power for different reasons. And nobody gets into office unless God puts his stamp of approval on it. Well, I've gone just a little bit longer than I wanted to today, but I tell you what, it's important to understand this Jesus. It's important to understand who he is. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the means of salvation, how people got saved, how people came to know Jesus back in boomer days, and how they do it today. Is there any difference in what they do today and what they did back in boomer days? Has God changed his mind on this? So next week, we'll talk about the means of salvation. Then we're going to talk about marriage. Then we're going to talk about holy living. And then I think the next subject that we're going to address, get ready here, boomers, because you've got children and grandchildren. Most of you boomers have grandchildren who are dating age. And we're going to talk about dating since the 50s through today and how it's changed. Well, that's enough for today. We'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in, listening to our podcast. If you like to share us, if you don't like us, if you think it's the craziest thing you've ever heard, just please keep your mouth shut about it and don't tell everybody how goofy we are, okay? Just understand that we love you. We appreciate you being with us today, and we hope you'll tune in again. Hey, everybody out there, have a great week. And may God bless each and every one of you. Goodbye.